This Wednesday, NBA PropCast Player Props Edition of the PropCast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy games for a chance to win 100x in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Champs. Champs gives you the opportunity to run your own March Madness pool. Enter Champs free bracket contest for a chance to win 1,000. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs to enter today. And last but not least, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
And Peggy the shot, the ground down, bailed. He missed the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown. The catch is made by Calvin Ridley.
Wilson.
Welcome, everyone, to the NBA PropCast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, March the 13th, currently 11:45 Central Time, 12:45 on the East Coast, here to get into our NBA player props for the Wednesday night action. And joining me here to help me break it down, as usual, on these episodes for the NBA PropCast, of course, my main man, it's Crispy Captain. Chris, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
What's up, you know? I'm doing good, man. Like you said, we talked a little bit off air, but besides the Milwaukee Bucks just, you know, not showing up, they could have just went back to Wisconsin last night instead of going to Sacramento after they left L.A. Outside of that, I'm doing fine, though. The NBA has been treating me well overall. I think that loss was actually my first loss on the week, so hopefully we can pick back up. It was the only play I had yesterday. I know we've been doing really, really good on the podcast. I think we've been giving out winners left and right. So hopefully we can keep that going today. I appreciate everybody for tuning in as always. And I'm excited to get into them. I think it's some really, really great spots on the board today when I got a chance to kind of dive into some of these player props.
Yeah. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, it's kind of at that point in the regular season where I think we're just trying to get to the finish line now, because I know there's been a lot of conversations in the past of, you know, possibly trimming down the NBA season, maybe going from like 82 to 75 or 70, and maybe giving guys, you know, more nights off between games and things like that. But I feel like, you know, we're just kind of, you know, getting ready to just get to the playoffs. I know there's still things to be determined in the Western Conference. And it's a tight race at the top of the Western Conference, right, for that number one seed. So obviously it's still a lot to be played for. But I mean, like you and I were just talking offline, right? We talked about that Toronto and the Denver Nuggets game, right? I mean, where the Toronto Raptors pretty much had their entire core guys sitting out in that game outside of the injury that they're already dealing with. And the Denver Nuggets closed as a 17.5-point favorite, I want to say. And I think it was at midway in the second quarter, or in that second quarter, the Denver Nuggets, as a 17-point favorite, were trailing by 22 points in that game. So those are the kind of things. I mean, it's not about us also having to handicap at this part of the season around injuries, but also that motivation factor as well, right? It's like, you know, guys are maybe probably ready, you know, try to get to the offseason, or not, sorry, the offseason, to the playoffs with teams that are in contention. But also teams that just have something to play for as well. So, I mean, at this part of the season, I think it's a little difficult to handicap. And like you mentioned, right, you don't have to have a high volume of games just because there's 8-9 games on in a single night. You had one play last night. I had two plays last night, or I had three plays last night, you know, across 9 games. So every single night, you're not going to have everything that you like. And I think that also applies to player props as well. There's like some nights where there's, you know, I'll be like, oh, it's a shoot-or-shoot type of night. And there's some like, you know, I don't like a lot of player props here. So you don't want to force the action. But couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, Chris, before we actually do get into player props. Right, actually, one thing that's kind of been talked about in the NBA, it's been Luka, man. 7 straight triple doubles for the Dallas Mavericks. A lot of those have translated to wins for Luka. Obviously, the MVP conversation right now is all centered around Nikola Jokic, who's around -255, -260 to win that MVP award for the regular season, and rightfully so. Right, he's been playing some great basketball since the All-Star break. But I think if Luka, and I want to see that, do you think that Luka has a chance to win the MVP, or at least has entered that conversation to win MVP. Because again, I know his Dallas Mavericks have been kind of up and down. There's times where they look like, all right, this might be a team that could make a run in the Western Conference, and they look really good, and Luka looks unstoppable. Or do you just think it's Nikola Jokic? You know, he's pretty much wrapped this up, barring any type of injury to Nikola Jokic.
Really, really good question, you know. I think for the NBA, it's really, really good. They need narratives, right? We need something to put out in front of the media, especially with, you know, they started it up. Remember last week around this time, a week before last, the Tatum conversation started up, right? Like, oh, yeah, he doesn't have to do as much. You know, he's on a winning team, but, you know, he's sacrificing so much. And then, of course, you know, a couple big games, he doesn't really show up or, you know, show out to MVP to, you know, kind of take that MVP away. And I do think that, you know, it's always going to be some naysayers in there that's always looking to, you know, kind of give the award to somebody else, no matter if, you know, because Jokic honestly should have probably won it again last year, right? You know, so yeah. I, in my opinion, Luka is, you know, entering the conversation. To give you a little bit more detail on that, I would want to look into the Dallas Mavericks strength of schedule to see where, you know, like where could they potentially, you know, finish in the Western Conference. I know right now they have been winning games. They've won, what, three in a row? Has Dallas won three in a row? Three in a row. Sitting in the eighth seed right now, I don't think that that's going to be enough, honestly. You know, yeah. I don't think so. I know the run that he's on is absolutely amazing, but Denver has come out of the All-Star break really locked in him. You know, they are doing something different outside of the letdown, which kind of be expected. I think people were expecting the letdown after they had beat the Boston Celtics against the Utah Jazz, and they smoked the Utah Jazz in the next game. So, you know, having these arguably two of the worst five teams in the league, you know, in back-to-back games after beating the Boston Celtics, you kind of expect a little bit of a letdown. But this team is, you know, they're hitting on all cylinders, and Jokic is also getting the triple doubles left and right as well, right? And it's so natural for him. I think for Luka as well too, but it's going to be difficult to take that away from him, you know. But it does make for good conversation, and you know, if Dallas can go on some kind of run, because what are they, 37-28? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, literally still what, 4.5 games out of getting the fourth seed. So if they could, you know, finish as high as four, because granted, I think Denver is going to finish with the best record in the NBA. That game last night, them winning and OKC getting upset by the Indiana Pacers, tied their record. They're both 45-20 right now. And I'm not sure who owns the tiebreaker. I want to say that it would come down to points because they're both 2-2 against each other, but don't quote me on that. So I looked at strength of schedule, and I do think that Denver wins the Western Conference again. And of course, that's going to give it, you know, make Jokic's case even better, especially if they continue to play basketball like they have outside of the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know, I think that people want to talk about the big sexy teams in the Western Conference, right? The Phoenix Suns of the world, the Kevin Durant, the Devin Booker, the Bradley Beal, the big three. The Lakers are always in that conversation. You know that just because it's LeBron, it's Anthony Davis, it's a Laker brand. And then there's, you know, the Clippers as well. I know maybe not as glamorous as the Lakers because they're kind of the little brother in LA that nobody out. I mean, you know, you could probably count on one hand Clipper fans if you're walking through the streets of LA. But it's a Kawhi Leonard, it's a James Harden, it's a Paul George, and there's that little big three rivalry that goes on as well. But when you talk about, I mean, when I look at a starting lineup, Chris, I feel like the Denver Nuggets and the entire league have the most complete lineup because you have an elite point guard, a star point guard, Jamal Murray, who can not only initiate your offense and score points for you. I mean, we know Nikola Jokic. I'm not even going to expand on that. I think one of the best players, probably the best player in the NBA. Aaron Gordon, when they acquired him, I thought was absolutely fantastic move for them because he gives you things on both sides of the court, defensively and also on the offensive side. And you don't, he doesn't, and when he was in Orlando, he had to be a guy out there that had to score 19 and 20 points per game for them to have success. I don't think that he's that type of player, but he can contribute 13 to 16 to 17 points per a night. For you. And then you also have a defensive guy in KCP who can knock down the 3-point shot, a 3-and-D guy. And then you have Mr. Green Light, Michael Porter Jr., that if he gets on fire, I mean, look out, he can fill up the basketball or he can fill up the rim real quickly. So And again, they're very well coached as well. So I think, again, that I agree with you. I think that the road goes through the Denver Nuggets. And I think Nikola Jokic, you know, if he continues playing the way that he has been playing, I think he has pretty much wrapped up this award in the MVP. But I thought it was an interesting conversation just because when Russell Westbrook won, I think OKC won. They were the sixth seed in the Western Conference. But you mentioned like narrative, right? Because that was a season where I believe that Russell Westbrook either set the record for most triple doubles in a season, or he broke the record for most triple doubles in NBA history. So like you mentioned, the narrative part of it, I just don't think that Luka has it right. I think, again, everybody wants Luka to win it because, you know, Luka, everybody loves Luka, right? There's maybe a handful of people that don't like him, but when you actually watch the game and you watch Luka play, like, you just appreciate what this guy is able to do and really fill up the stat sheet. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting to see just the odds now, right? Now reflecting that, you know, like I mentioned, Jokic up to -260, -265 to win the MVP, where Luka is down to around 8-1. I think last time you and I talked about it, it's around, I think, 12-1 to 10-1. But it just seems like it's a Jokic award to lose at this point of the season. All right, Chris, before we actually do get into our player props here for tonight in the NBA on the Wednesday night card, let me tell everyone about March Madness. Hey, 15% off of everything in the merch store. Make sure you use our promo code MADNESS. We just, as if I think it was last night where Sean messaged us, and we got some really, really nice NBA gambling podcast hats. They look fresh. They look nice. Go check it out. store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And you can also get 15% off of those hats. And also, you know, we're company men. You know, we're not going to only promote the NBA gambling podcast or the Propcast. March Madness is right around the corner, right? It's on brand. The first half unders t-shirts are on there as well. Court Storm shirts for the college basketball experience. So you can get any of that or anything else from the other network shows, whether it's hockey, MMA, golf. I know they have a Players Championship this weekend. The Masters right around the corner as well. So exciting times right now if you're a sports fan. If you're a supporter of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, make sure you use code MADNESS. Get 15% off everything in the merch store. And we're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting social platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on politics, sports, pop culture, other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it a feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut even handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and much more. There's also a rewards program. You can get cash back on every single time you bet against your friends or other users. I know Sean and Kramer, they have a bet that's been posted on Cut. And I think with the college guys as well on how many buzzer beaters are going to be for the big dance. I think they set the line at over under 1.5. So you can go head to head against them. All I got to do is download Cut today in the App Store or go to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy gives you the opportunity to play alongside your favorite players. And it's pretty simple to play their pick'em game. All you got to do is pick your favorite players and if they are going to go higher or lower on their stat total in this week's games for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build your pick'em entry. And you can also make rival picks, which picks 2 players against each other. Which player is going to have more points? You can also do that over on Underdog Fantasy. We've been doing pretty well on the NBA Gambling Podcast as far as our Underdog Fantasy entries have been going. So make sure you sign up today. If you haven't already, make sure you use that promo code NBASGPN and get your first deposit bonus doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com, find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with our promo code NBASGPN on your first deposit, doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 years or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Consider with your play. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All righty, Chris, let's actually get into our player props here for the Wednesday night schedule in the association. My man, I'll let you lead it off, man. What do you got? Player prop number one.
Let's go. You know, like I said, it's hard. It's a lot to like today, man, so it's hard to choose. But I'll start off in let's start off in one of the later games. Going straight to the guy that got us paid in the last time in the same matchup here. You know, if I'm looking at LeBron tonight against the Sacramento Kings, you know, we literally just cashed this about 2 weeks ago when these two teams just faced off. The number on that day was 33.5. It's moved up to 34.5, but he literally cashed it in the third quarter. He actually didn't even play. That was the game that he left when, I don't know if he faked the injury or what it was, but he left and went to the back, didn't even come back in to the game. So book only adjusted one here. It's another matchup where, you know, you're attacking a team that kind of gives up the points in the paint, man. Since the All-Star break, Sacramento allowing, you know, 15.7 makes per game, which, you know, puts them in the top six, you know, in restricted points scored. And Bron and AD are the guys. I think it's going to be more Bron than AD because it feels like that time of the year, hear me enough, where the Lakers are kind of seizing their opportunity and they understand that. And who of all people are going to rise to the occasion other than LeBron James, in my opinion? That's the one person. Granted, he's the oldest, and it should be Anthony Davis at this point. I think we've had that conversation enough. It's always been LeBron, man. He continues to, you know, just dominate this matchup as well. So I talked about this as well. So he, I think he was, let's see, I do got his written. So he was 5-1 to the over, you know, that day. Since then, LeBron is now, I want to say, 8-1 to the over on this number, 33.5 points plus assists. And it's something that he's done. Like I said, I think the last time we talked about this, it had been, it was 8 of 8 games against the Sacramento Kings. So let's make that 9 for 9 games in a row that he's been able to go over this points plus assists. So I expect him to have the ball in his hands a lot, get downhill. You get Sacramento on the second leg of a back-to-back. Lakers in a triple revenge spot. You're not going to be able to beat this Kings team, which I do think is going to be a hard-fought game. We see Sacramento is just a really bad matchup for the Lakers, especially with their youth and the way that they get out and run. But LeBron James having 2 days of rest, I expect him to be fired up in this spot. You know, if I don't think the Kings are going to sweep the Lakers in the season series. I think LeBron will have a lot to do with that. Give me over 33.5 points plus assists for LeBron.
Yeah, I had -500 odds that you were going to go right back to this player prop here because you mentioned we just talked about it a few weeks ago. And 100% correct, right? Why would you not go back to it? Especially, you know, you mentioned the triple revenge spot here, right? The Kings are 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the spread against the Lakers this season. And I think it's something similar to what we saw, I think it was last Friday, between the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks, that the Orlando Magic, I think, were up 3-0 and 3-0 against the spread in the season series. The Knicks came out and just played great basketball led by their leader. I think it was Jalen Brunson in that game, and they were able to take care of business that game. So I think it's something similar in this spot here where the Kings are on a back-to-back. In this season, they haven't been very good on back-to-back situations, especially at home. And I think LeBron, in this game, like you mentioned, the numbers have backed it up. He's gone over this number in, what you say, 8 straight against the or his last 8 games against the Sacramento
Kings.
Yeah, 9 straight. So we're looking for number 10 now this game tonight against the Kings. So yeah, expect a big effort here from LeBron. Don't want to get that season sweep, you know, by the Kings. So I like this fight. I think it'll be led by definitely by LeBron. And a lot of people do pivot thinking going to Anthony Davis, but I think LeBron, he's just a matchup. There's nobody on this team, on the Sacramento Kings, that can stay in front of him, especially when he's, you know, going downhill and getting to the basket. So I love this play here with LeBron here. I'm gonna tell you on this one for sure. All right, for my first player prop, Chris, I'm gonna go over to the game between the first game there, the Toronto Raptors and the Detroit Pistons. I'm not going to continue fading the Toronto Raptors defense here. I know we talked about it, that they were competitive in that game against the Denver Nuggets, but still their defense has just not been very good. I think there's a good spot here for Cade Cunningham to have a big night. I'm looking at his points and assists to go over 30.5 in this game. When you take a look at what the Toronto Raptors, at least over the last 2 weeks, have given up to that point guard position, in particular, like I mentioned, to that point guard. So they're giving up 24.5 points per game. They're also allowing 9.2 assists per game to that point guard position as well. And Cade, I mean, he's been doing very well. Again, he's not talked about a lot because he's in that Detroit market, and Detroit has been one of the worst teams for the past 3 to 4 years. But last 5 games, he's averaging close to 24 points per game. He's averaging close to 9 assists per game in that span as well. He has actually gone over this projection in 3 out of the last 4 games for the Detroit Pistons. The only game he fell short in was that last game against the Charlotte Hornets, where he got hooked at that number of 30.5. He got 22 points and 8 assists in that game. And he's also getting the shot volume, right? He's at least 20 shot attempts in four straight games. And now you're going up against a defense that's, like I mentioned, has been struggling mightily against their opponent. So I think there's a good spot here for Cade Cunningham, who's pretty much their offense. I know Jaden Ivey has been hit or miss, but I think the more consistent guy for this team has been Cade Cunningham. So I'm going to go with Cade here on his points and assists combined. That number was at 30.5. Let me get the updated number here. It may have moved. The VIG may have moved a little bit, but let's see here. Yeah, it's at 30.5. Around minus 125 is the best number I see out there. So, Chris, first play prop for me. Cade Cunningham, points and assists over 30.5.
Love it, Munoz. I actually played it as well. Not the points and assists. I just played the points by themselves, by itself at 22.5. I got that number at minus 110. So definitely shop around. I think minus 110s are still out there. So yeah, I mean, of course I agree with it. The only thing I'll add to this, Munoz, because I didn't play the assist, but no way I could talk you all. You mentioned him being hot right now. 22 points or more in four straight games and eight of his last nine since the All-Star break. So he's really kind of ramped up after the All-Star break. He's actually when I was looking at this from a matchup perspective, you know, I immediately looked at mid-range. You talked about Toronto's defense and how bad it's been. And you're right. Like, it's been pretty bad. After the All-Star break, Toronto ranks either bottom 10 bottom 10 in points allowed per 100 possessions, opponent effective field goal percentage as well. And they're giving up a ton of offensive rebounds, so it could be a lot of second chance opportunities. They're the worst. They're giving up more offensive rebounds than any other team in the league right now, which could lead to, you know, some more shots here for Cade. But what I was looking at specifically, though, Munoz, was Toronto's mid-range defense. Their mid-range defense has actually been really bad. So Toronto is 28th in opponent mid-range frequency, so they're giving up, you know, a ton of shots in the mid-range. But they're also 27th in opponent mid-range accuracy. So they're allowing teams to shoot 46% from the mid-range. If you go in and look at Cade specifically, he's the guy on that team that shoots the most mid-range shots, which is why, you know, this one kind of makes the most sense. He's getting up a ton of mid-range shots, and he's making them, shooting about 57% from the mid-range. So I think he's going to mid-range him to death here, Munoz. Give me Cade to go over his 22.5 points, but no way I could talk you off the assist as well, especially against a Toronto team that's, you know, flying in all the way from the West Coast. They're going to be shorthanded. They're still without their defenders as well. We know Scotty Barnes is out with that hand injury. RJ Barrett, I think, is already out in this one as well. Am I right, Munoz? Is he out for personal reasons, I think?
I did see that he popped up on the injury report. I think it was looking at it. Let me double check here.
Let's see. I wrote it down earlier. I just didn't put it in the roster.
Yeah, he's out for personal reasons.
RJ, Jakob Poeltl, and Chris Boucher are all out. And Gary Trent Jr. and Emmanuel Quickly, two guys that don't play any defense, will be in there. So it should be Cade's in a really good matchup. Also, when we think about, just shooting on the same rim over and over again, I want to say this is the fourth straight home game for Detroit. So he's in a really good rhythm right now. Detroit, what is this? Fourth straight home game with two more left after this. So yeah, I like, give me Cade, all the Cade today. I like it.
There we go. I'm glad you're on my side on this one for sure. So hopefully, yeah, a big night for Cade here to dominate in the mid-range against the defense that's been mildly struggling in the Toronto Raptors. So again, Cade Cunningham, if you want to just go points alone or if you want to tack on the assists like I am, I know Chris said he's playing the points, but I got it. Points and assists going over 30.5 for Cade Cunningham here tonight against the Toronto Raptors. All right, Chris, before we continue the conversation here, let me tell everyone about our friends over at Champs. Champs is running, they're actually hosting, I should say, a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get an extra entry for free into their bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who wins first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. Again, that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit ajofbets.com and make sure you use our promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, Chris, take us over to player prop number two, my man. What do you got?
So, CJ, we could say, not CJ, we could say Kate was, we'll say he was an honorable mention for me. You know, just because, like I said, I got a couple that I like. Next one I'm heading to is, and I didn't see a line for this one. You know, maybe you can double check while I'm giving out the analysis for Trey Murphy. Really love his threes in this spot. But so you can wait and get Trey Murphy. Probably come out at 3.5. Or you can play CJ McCollum. Just play them both. I mean, they get a Cleveland defense that's been really, really bad. CJ is at 2.5. I think I saw that tad bit juiced at like -130. But, man, you talk about the matchup and this one hitting off. I mean, it's a tremendous matchup for both of these guys against a Cleveland defense that's really, really been struggling against the – you know, against the three-point shot in general, specifically after the All-Star break. So going through and just kind of looking at the numbers, Cleveland, they're allowing, you know, teams to shoot a ton of threes, and they're just not really doing a great job of defending them. I got Cleveland at as far as their defense, 28th in accuracy above the break three-point defense. Here, you know, for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are they allowing teams to shoot 39% from the three-point line? You look at CJ McCollum specifically, and I mean, he's been really, really, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say shouldering the load, because like I said, I think both of those guys are shooting the ball really, really well. But CJ he's averaging just under three threes per contest, and shooting it well, getting up 7.5 shot attempts a game, shooting 37% from the three-point line. He's cashed the over 2.5 in 3 of his last 4 and 4 of his last 5 as well, and 5 of his last 7. So this dude is making a lot of shots. And like I said, Cleveland, 28th and above the break three-point defense, allowing teams to shoot 40%, 27th in opponent accuracy. CJ, like I said, he's getting them up. So like CJ at home in this spot, here, Minoff, against a Cleveland defense that's still going to be a little shorthanded without Dean Wade out there, without Evan Mobley. We know Jared Allen's going to anchor, you know, that paint, but I do expect a lot of, you know, kick and drive, driving kicks from Brandon Ingram, from CJ McCollum. So Trey Murphy is the other one that I was looking at. You know, like I said, I couldn't find a number for Trey Murphy, and I had to take a double look at, you know, how well he had been shooting the basketball in the month of March. And it hasn't been that many games, but over a 4-game sample, you know, this dude is shooting. He's making 6 threes a game on 11.5 attempts, shooting 52% from the 3-point line. He's made 6 threes, 2 threes, 10 threes, and 6 threes in his last 4 games. And I just kind of broke it down and told you guys why he's in a very advantageous matchup against that, where he likes to shoot the ball above the break and corner three. The Cleveland Cavaliers defense is doing really, really bad. When you guys did the show, you know, the other day, I talked a lot about how much I like Grayson Allen. Very similar situation here as we lost Munoz for just a quick second. But, yeah, Grayson Allen over 2.5 three-point mix was the play that I liked the most in the last game. And I think it's very, very, you know, easy to say you just insert the next player. And that player would be today, would either be CJ McCollum at over 2.5 threes or Trey Murphy at over 3.5 three-point mix here. So that was the player prop that I liked the most in this one. I'll keep it going as we wait for Munoz to rejoin us. So I already talked about LeBron James, already talked about CJ McCollum here in this spot, or Trey Murphy. Like I said, you definitely can wait on Trey Murphy when his lines drop. They haven't dropped yet, but I do anticipate those to be around 3.5. 3.5 point line there for him. And I just want to double check real quick and make sure. Yeah, it's not out yet, but CJ McCollum over 2.5 is at -135, the best odds I see for CJ here. All right, so CJ, LeBron, then we also have Kay Cunningham, which I kind of talked about a little bit already. Those three guys are in, I think, the best spots here today. So we'll see if – there he is. Pop back in right on time.
Damn. My internet just spazzed out on me there for a second, so I had to reset.
It's all good.
My bad.
All good. You know, I just kind of finished up the breakdown by saying that, you know, CJ McCollum was in that same spot that when I did the NBA podcast with you guys that Grayson Allen was in, right? When I talked about giving out his over 2.5. So CJ over his 2.5, or Trey Murphy, you can wait on the number and he'll probably open at 3.5. But like I said, he's making 6 and Cleveland defense is bottom 5 against the 3-point line. So that's what I like the most in that one, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't able to find the Trey Murphy number for his 3-point props. But I mean, like you mentioned, he's hit 6 in 3 of the last 4 games for the New Orleans Pelicans. So, like Chris mentioned, if you want to wait on it, you know, later in the day or as we get closer to game time for that, or if you want to play CJ McCollum at 2.5 right now around minus 130, minus 127, what I'm seeing out there as well for CJ McCollum. So, definitely we'll be on board with that one for sure. All right, Chris, let me get over to my second player prop here. I'm going to go over to the last game of the night. That's going to be between the Portland Trailblazers and the Atlanta Hawks. I know a lot of people probably not going to be watching this game because it's one of the uglier ones. But if you do want some action in this game, I'm looking at DeJounte Murray in this game here, Chris. His rebounds and his points and assists as well to go over the number of 34.5. Obviously, we know no Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks. And it's been DeJounte Murray's show, right? He's been handed over the keys to the offense. He's been playing significant minutes for this Atlanta Hawks team as well. Over the last 5 games, he's averaging a hair above 38 minutes per game. He's averaging 24.6 points per game. And he's averaging 8.6 assists per game as well. But for whatever reason, it seems like he just loves playing against this Blazers team. And in 2 games against the Blazers as a player for the Atlanta Hawks, Chris, he's put up back-to-back 40-point games. So if you just want to play his points, I couldn't fault you for that at all. This line right now is currently sitting at -2 is what I last saw it. So the books are expecting this one to come down to the wire in favor of the Atlanta Hawks. That number's up to 3.5 now. I'm sorry. So relatively still going to be a close game here. So I do expect DeJounte Murray to be out there for another, you know, 35 plus minutes at minimum. And this Portland team, they've been struggling on the defensive side of the basketball. I mean, there's no question about that. And specifically to that point guard position over the last 2 weeks here, Chris, the Portland Trailblazers are allowing close to 25 points per game. They're allowing 8.8 assists per game to that point guard position. So I do expect DeJounte Murray to have another big game here tonight again. Maybe something similar to Cade Cunningham, where he does have success in that mid-range. We know he can knock down that mid-range jump shot. He's been actually getting up a lot of 3-point shots as well, has been DeJounte Murray over the past 5 games for the Atlanta Hawks. He's averaging 8.8 attempts in that span. Back-to-back games, he's had at least 10 attempts. He's made at least 4 of them. And he's had at least 6 assists in 5 straight games. He's had at least 9 assists in 3 of the last 5 games here. So I think it'll be another big night here for DeJounte Murray. So I'm looking at his points and assists to go over the number of 34.5 in this game for the Atlanta Hawks here, Chris.
Yeah, I like that one. You know, I think you got to continue to fade this defense. I actually got to play a prop in this game as well. But I'll just say that's a really good spot. And I also think something that benefits both our player prop here, you know, we're on different guys, but same team. I think, you know, you said no Trae Young, of course, but also Sadiq Bey went down as well. So we could see, you know, even more usage for DeJounte Murray. I mean, this team is getting really, really thin now, you know, out there at, power forward slash small forward, the power forward slash small forward position, especially with no Onyeka Okongwu as well. So DeJounte had the ball in his hands a lot, and they've been winning games, Jimmy. Enough. I think, you know, they out to prove something and probably going to try to get into the play, you know, try to make some noise in that play, currently where they're sitting in that play-in type position. So I could definitely see a big – I mean, if not him, then who?
Yeah. If not, yeah. I mean, again, when we talk about usage rates and things like that, I mean, I think DeJounte Murray, especially without Trae Young, I mean, he has to be up there in that category as far as usage rate goes for a guy like DeJounte Murray. You mentioned you have a player prop in this game as well, same side?
Absolutely, him, you know. And I'm looking at Mr. Bojan Bogdanović in this one, you know. I like his 3-point prop. And this, this Portland Trailblazer team, they like you said, they're not a great defense, and they have been playing a little bit better defense, you know, before the All-Star break. But, you know, they really, really struggled, specifically against the three-point line. That's where, you know, I kind of went in and looked at the numbers, and, you know, before the All-Star break, they were a top 10 defense against the three-point line. They were actually one of the best defenses in the league. They went into the All-Star break actually number three rated defense as far as opponent three-point percentage, allowing teams to shoot just 35% from the three-point line. However, it's been about 10 games since the All-Star break, you know, and they actually are the second worst three-point defense in the league. 39.9% is what they're giving up. And a lot of it comes from the corner three where Mr. Bojan Bogdanović shoots. He attempts a lot of his shots from. 3.5 is the number. You look at his minutes. I love it. He's playing 35 in every single game. You know, they're leaving him out there, and he's getting the attempts up, you know, 8.9 attempts, shooting 40% from the three-point line. He's coming off a game against the New Orleans Pelicans where he hit 7 of 15. Before that, 3 against Memphis. Before that, 3 against Cleveland. And I just kind of talked about it. This is just like a recipe type play where Bogdanović, I think, continues to stay hot in this game and, you know, continues to shoot the ball. He'll have to. I think he'll get increased minutes. I mean, can't increase him, but so much. But he'll definitely be out there on the floor, him and off with, you know, with DeJounte Murray, you know, kind of shouldering this offensive load. So give me Bogdanović in this spot, him and off. The number is plus money as well, plus 120. I see is the best odds for Bogdanović to go over his 3.5 three-point makes here.
And like you mentioned, right, if it's not DeJounte Murray, then who? I think that next guy has to be Bogdanović for this Atlanta Hawks team, especially with, like we mentioned, we've talked about how they don't have Trae Young. So it has to be, it's going to be Bogdan. It's going to be DeJounte. They're also going to be without Jalen Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, either, Chris, in this game, right? And then he's been a real bright spot for this Atlanta Hawks team this season. So, like you mentioned, that the front court depth is really sliced up for this Atlanta Hawks team. I mean, like we mentioned, no Sadiq Bey, torn ACL, Jalen Johnson doubtful here tonight, right ankle sprain. No Yeke Okongwu. So it's going to have to be the guard play here tonight between Bogdanović and DeJounte Murray. And that's an area that the Portland Trail Blazers have been struggling to defend. So the shot volume is just going to be there for Bogdanović, right? Without all those guys in the lineup. So I'm with you on this one. If you're getting set at plus odds, yeah, I can definitely get behind this one for sure. So again, Bogdanović over on his 3-point prop here tonight for the Atlanta Hawks. All right, Chris, for my last player prop, and I have a lot of honorable mentions, or not a lot, but I do have a couple of honorable mentions. You know, we'll get to that here in a second. So for my last player prop, I'll go over to that game between the Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. And I'm looking at CP3 in this game here, Chris, rebounds and assists to go over the number of 12.5. This was at plus 105 last night. As far as the odds went towards the over, let me double check that here for Chris Paul. Yeah, now it's at minus 110. So, and I still like it, obviously, at 12.5. Obviously, no Steph Curry in this game. They Friday or on the weekend. So Chris Paul has been put into that starting lineup by Steve Kerr. And when you have a guy like that in your starting lineup, who's pretty much, again, the point guard, future Hall of Famer, he's an extension of the head coach, right? He's going to get guys in the right spots. And we know he's going to rack up the assists, right? So he's had at least 7 assists in 4 of the last 5 games. Yeah, at least 9 assists in 3 of the last 4 games. The key here is going to be that I do think that he will get into double-digit assists in this game. The key is going to be the rebounds because he's averaging 4.4 rebounds over the last 5 games. He had 9 rebounds against the San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio Spurs, he had 4 in that previous matchup on Saturday where they lost against the Spurs. So I think that he'll definitely get into double-digit rebounds here. He's playing a little bit more minutes without Steph Curry. He played 29 against the Spurs in the first game on Saturday, played 33 minutes on Monday against the Spurs in that revenge spot in San Antonio. So I do expect him to be out there 25-plus minutes, pushing towards 30 minutes. And when Chris Paul is out there, he's going to find his guys. And he's going to find his shooters, whether it's going to be Clay, whether it's going to be Moses Moody, whether it's going to be Brandon Pajemski, whether it is going to be Jonathan Kuminga on the inside. I know Draymond also filled this role as well, but I think when you talk about ball handling, it's going to be down to Chris Paul here. So I think it's a good buy low spot for Chris Paul here, CP3, on his rebounds and assists to go over the number of 12.5 here, Chris.
Yeah, this makes a ton of sense as well. You know, if I hadn't really thought about player prop perspective, but, you know, looking at the numbers, CP3 is going to get the minutes, like you said, with no Steph Curry being there. And are you ready to really trust Dallas defense yet, Himinoff, because they were able to slow down the Chicago Bulls team and a Miami Heat team? I know that I'm not, right? Yeah. So you know, defensively, you know, I just think about trying to find a way to fade Dallas, like you kind of talked about. They have not been great after the All-Star break. I see them as second worst in opponent points allowed per 100 possessions. 27th in opponent effective field goal percentage. They're also not doing a great job of rebounding the basketball here. You know, they're 23rd in offensive rebound rate, so not getting a ton of second chance opportunities. When you go through and look at the advanced analytics as far as their defense and shot zones, yeah, they're giving it up here. You know, 26th in opponent short mid-range accuracy, 30th. So they're dead last in mid-range accuracy overall. They also giving up a ton of threes, 25th in corner three-point percentage, 27th in opponent three-point frequency from the corner as well. And, you know, that's where Golden State likes to shoot the ball, those corner and above the break three. So this lines up well here, you know. Maybe just, you know, maybe PRA over, because Chris Paul is a mid-range assassin as well. And like I said, the Dallas Mavericks are, you know, dead last in that category also. So it should be a big game here for CP3. And the Dallas offense is looking good. So I can see them kind of continuing to keep it going, and Golden State having to, you know, play pretty good basketball. I see the ball in CP3 hands a lot in this spot. You know, if I like it.
Yeah, he had 19 shot attempts in that game against the San Antonio Spurs. And the last time he had double-digit shot attempts, I mean, I would have to go back and really – I mean, that was – last time was against the Toronto Raptors where he had 10. That was back on March 1st. Prior to that, you would have to go all the way back to December. I know he had missed those 8 weeks with the hand injury. But I think, again, when we talk about not having Steph Curry in the lineup, that those mid-range opportunities may just be there for Chris Paul in this game as well. So like Chris mentioned, that if you want to take the points, the PRA over as well, I think that's a great look in this game for Chris Paul as well. So, but officially for me, I'll be on the rebounds and assist over 12.5 for Chris Paul in this game against the Dallas Mavericks. All right, so that is three player props each year. Chris, let's get into some honorable mentions here for the Wednesday night card, man. What do you want to throw out there?
I think Jamal Murray here, you know, has a big game on the road. I know Jokic is, you know, typically pretty dominant in these matchups against and pretty much everybody. But I think, you know, Bam's a pretty good defender. You got the Miami Heat, they're second in rim frequency, so a lot of teams not really trying them at the rim. And they're fifth in accuracy as well. So they're doing a good job of deterring the rim, but they don't do as good of a job in the mid-range. And when I think about mid-range for the Denver Nuggets, I think about Jamal Murray having, you know, running that little pick and well, I wouldn't say little, running that probably most effective play in basketball we've seen in quite a while, you know, running that pick and roll with Jokic and coming off of that pick and roll and knocking down some jump shots. That's what he did in the last game against the Toronto Raptors. He's been doing it all season. And I can see him really stepping up and having a big game here in Miami. Something about Denver, you know, if when they beat you, and you're a really good team, they like to beat you again. They don't believe in revenge spots. So, you know, all throughout the, you know, throughout the season, you've taken the Lakers, if you've taken the Warriors, then you've lost money because Denver just continues to clean up. And I think Jamal Murray, of course, Jokic, but I think Jamal Murray has a lot to do with that today. So I'd be looking at his points to go over is something that I consider. And that was really the only other honorable mention. Like I said, I gave out, I saved CJ Cade Cunningham for honorable mention because I already had Bogdanovich and CJ McCollum / Trey Murphy and LeBron. So yeah, I'll stay there.
I wanted to get to Jalen Duren's rebounds here, but Isaiah Stewart has been kind of eating into his production as far as the rebounding aspect goes. For Jalen Duren, but I think this is a favorable matchup for him going up against we talked about the Toronto Raptors that, again, defensively have not been very good since the All-Star break. They're missing their front court depth, so they really don't have that rim protection, especially without Jakob Poeltl. Again, earlier this season, Jalen Duren did have a 17 rebound game against the Raptors. But again, like I mentioned with Isaiah Stewart, also in that starting lineup, you know, those two guys are kind of taking the stats away from each other, especially from the rebounds. So, I mean, he could get to the window there again. But right now it's at 12 and a half for Jalen Duren. I was considering that one. You already mentioned LeBron. I'm going to be on that with you, whether it's PRA, PR, PNA, whatever the case might be. I think that he has a big game here tonight as well. So I'll validate that one as well with you. Other than that, I think that was pretty much else that I was looking at. Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. So, Chris, let's get over to best bets, man, before we wrap up the show here, man. What do you got for your best bet?
I think we got to go Bron, man. It just means the most, you know. We got to go Bron. The most meaningful, motivated spot, I think, on the board for today. Bron's a man with pride, and I don't think he's going to, like I said, allow this sweep. Maybe the Lakers get swept, but I think he'll do everything in his power. You get him coming off 2 days rest. Like I said, he's 9 for 9 on the number in the last 9 games. And, cashed pretty easily in the last matchup. The Kings, just in general, they really struggle with, just teams that try to get downhill. Sacramento, since the All-Star break, are 25th in rim accuracy and opponent rim accuracy, allowing teams to shoot 69%. We know LeBron wants to get out and run. We know that he wants to get downhill and attack. And I think that he does that. I also think he gets his guys involved. And I think it's a big, big game for LeBron. So give me LeBron over his 33.5, 34.5 points plus assists here, best bet.
Yeah, love it, man. I think, again, it'll be a big game for LeBron here tonight. Again, don't want to get swept by a division opponent in the season series where, like we mentioned, the Kings are 3-0 straight up and 3-0 against the spread against the Lakers this season. And again, the Kings in a tough spot here on the back-to-back situation, even though they did take care of business last night against the Bucks. But they just don't have to, they have not been very good in back-to-back situations this season. Have the Sacramento Kings. All right, for my best bet, Chris, I'm going to go with Cade, man. Points and assists to go over the number of 30.5. I think this is a great matchup for him. Again, Luke talked about at volumes how bad this Toronto Raptors defense has been overall. They've been really struggling against the point guard position. And again, their main defensive guys, quote unquote, are not going to be available in this game. The no rim protection with Jakob Poeltl, whatever he did provide for this Toronto Raptors team. Obviously, no Scottie Barnes with the hand injury. More than likely he's done for the season. And then, like you mentioned, the two guys that do not play any type of defense in Emmanuel Quickly and Gary Trent Jr. are questionable here tonight. So I think it's a good spot for Cade, man. Like you mentioned, 4th straight home game. He's in a good form right now, has had success in his career against the Raptors. So I think it's a good opportunity for him to have a good scoring night and also continue dishing out dimes to his teammates. So best bet for me, points and assists over a number of 30.5 for Cade Cunningham here tonight. All right, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA Propcast. Another winning episode between myself and Chris with the 3 player props each that we did give out, as well as best bets here for this episode. Chris, anything else you want to mention, my man, before we get out of here?
Nah, man, that's it. Just enjoy the night. Enjoy the wind down of the season, like you talked about, always bet responsibly, and leave us a review wherever you check your podcast out. No matter what platform you're listening to, five star, always ask, and let's cash, man. Bet responsibly. Enjoy the games tonight, everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Again, season's starting to wind down, like we mentioned. So again, get it all out you can, at least the regular season games. Watch as much as you can before we know what the playoffs are going to be here, for the NBA season. We'll be back later in the week for another edition of the NBA Propcast. So look out for us then. Make sure to follow Chris on Twitter. That's at CrispyCapin with 2 P's and 2 N's. You can follow me there as well at SportsNerd824. More importantly, if you haven't already subscribed to the NBA Gambling Podcast YouTube channel, go ahead and do so, because that's where we go live at least twice a week for the PropCast shows for the NBA. So go ahead and subscribe. And obviously the daily pods Monday through Friday for the NBA Betting Picks show that goes live 11:05 every single day. Monday through Friday, I should say, not every single day, Monday through Friday at minimum during the weekdays. All right, we'll talk to you guys later this week. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.